Welcome, everybody, into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and we first want to apologize for not having a live show on Wednesday. Sometimes things are out of your control, a little bit of inconvenience, but that happens every day. We, Dragon Digital Radio, had a nice live event in Washington, D.C., which we took a part of, and we want to first apologize to you for not having a live show on Wednesday, but we are back, and we will put this podcast up as soon as we finish the show. Let's get started right away. Usually, we start off with the Thursday night games, but due to mitigating circumstances in Carolina, we are going to start with the Redskins and the Panthers. The Redskins with their first road win versus the Panthers since week 15 of 1998. A long, long, long time ago for the Redskins. So they get that win, but that win results in the firing of Panthers head coach Ron Rivera. He is gone after 9 seasons as the Carolina Panthers head coach, finishing with an overall record of 72-63-1. And for the Panthers, obviously, we'll look for a new head coach. Perry Fuel named the interim. He was the secondary coach for the Panthers. He will take charge of the final 4 games. My reaction to the Ron Rivera firing, it was coming for Ron Rivera. I do think he can be a quality head coach. He's very good a disciplinarian. He has had 6 losing seasons out of his 9, even though he has a winning record that was kind of inflated by his 15-1 year at Carolina, but he does have 6 losing seasons in his career. But I like Ron Rivera. He's a very no-nonsense type of guy. He's very real. He gets the best out of his players, and I think he would be good for a lot of teams. I think Ron Rivera will end up with the New York Giants. The Panthers' old front office now is pretty much in charge in New York City for the Giants. And David Gettleman, obviously great friends with Mr. Rivera and Pat Shurmur on hot ice in New York. We will get to the Giants later on. But I think the Panthers will struggle the rest of the way. I don't agree with firing Ron Rivera now. I would have preferred to see it at the end of the season, but I can see why they did it. They're going to give Perry Fuel his chance to audition for the head coaching job in Carolina, and we will see if he takes advantage of it. I don't think he will. I think they will struggle. I think they will lose at Atlanta next week. And the question also resides in Carolina is this it for Cam Newton? Is this it for Cam Newton now that his coach Ron Rivera is gone? And I think the answer to that question is potentially, but it depends on who the next head coach in Carolina is. I think the is more likely yes than no. He is done in Carolina. I still like Cam Newton a lot. He definitely will get a starting quarterback job in the National Football League. Would love to see him on a team like Tampa Bay or Indianapolis. That would be a good fit. Although I do like Jacoby Brissett, but he is a little limited. And I think Carolina will look for a young quarterback in the draft because Kyle Allen is not the answer. And the reality of the situation is, no offense, Redskins fans, but when you lose to the Redskins, it's time for change because the Washington Redskins are the definition of a dumpster fire in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. All right, let's go to Thanksgiving now, where it was a lot of fun football on Turkey Day. Close games all around, really, except the middle game between the Bills and the Cowboys, which no one would have expected. But we'll start with the Bears and the Lions. The Bears coming out on top 24-20 in this one. Mitchell Trubisky with 300 or more passing yards for the first time in his last 16 games. So the struggle has been real for Mitch Trubisky, but against a horrible Lions defense led by supposed defensive mastermind Matt Patricia, the Bears came out on top. They are 6-6. They are hanging by a thread to their playoff hopes. it's really not realistic to expect them to get in, but they're still alive by the skin of their teeth. I don't think they will get in. I think even if they win out, it just won't be enough to beat the Vikings or the Rams in terms of getting that sixth spot. I do like the way they're playing, though. They're not giving up. They're playing hard. Trubisky's had a couple nice games lately, although they were against the Giants and the Lions, so you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. They do play the Cowboys Thursday night. That will be one of our 10 pick-ems we pick later on in the show. But the defense for the Bears, kind of getting a little bit better. They started out very shaky against David Blough, making his first career start. But in the second half, they definitely picked it up and took it to another level for the Chicago Bears. And for the Lions, it's just rough. It's rough. Like we said here earlier a couple weeks ago, I doubt they're going to win a game again this year. It's just that they're really, really bad. They're just really, really bad. There's nothing else to say. They're just a really, really bad football team. They play Minnesota coming up. They're going to get absolutely obliterated in US Bank Stadium. A very mad Minnesota Viking team. They are not going to be happy after what the Seattle Seahawks did to them. I think the Lions are going to get absolutely obliterated in Minnesota. Chicago keeps up their winning ways for now. We will see how they do against the Dallas Cowboys, who fall to the Buffalo Bills 26-15. The Bills are 9-3 to start a season for the first time since 1996. So the Bills now 9-3 for the Cowboys. What's the one thing we continue to tell you here on the Benchwarmers Redemption? They don't beat good teams. And I fell for the trap. I actually fell for the trap. I picked the Cowboys to win the game. I fell for the trap. I thought they were going to break their curse and beat a team with a winning record. And how foolish was I? How foolish was I? The Buffalo Bills completely outplayed them up in Jerry World. Give the Bills a ton of credit. They were on a mission to prove the NFL that we are for real. We are a legit football team. Who cares about that fact that we play bad teams? We are for real. And they proved that. They went to Jerry World and dominated the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the score is 26-15. The score line makes it seem a little closer. It was not close. It was not close at all. And if you told me of the three Thanksgiving games, the one blowout we would have was between the Bills and the Cowboys, I would have called you crazy. But hey, that's why you play the games. That's exactly why you play the games. Dallas, Jason Garrett, he is a dead man walking. He will be gone after these next four games. I do think they will win the NFC East by default because it is so bad. And we'll get to why later on in the show. But Jason Garrett, regardless of if they win the NFC East, unless he gets a couple playoff wins, he is a dead man walking. You can just tell Jerry's had enough. He wants to make a change. And I think Urban Meyer is ready to return to coaching. And I think it will be with those Dallas Cowboys. You know Jerry Jones just loves to make a splash. That's what he just loves to do, and I think that splash will occur with Urban Meyer. The last Thanksgiving game of the day, the Saints and the Falcons. What a crazy game that was. The Saints win 26-18, clinching their third consecutive NFC South title. Congratulations to the Saints. But man, did they make it interesting. Atlanta recovering two onside kicks to make it interesting down the stretch. They had all the chances in the world, but the Falcons offensive line continues to be such a problem for them. They fall to 3-9 and are officially eliminated from playoff contention. Wow, what a game that was. That was extremely entertaining, way more than I thought it would be. And you got to give the Falcons credit for their compete level, but it's just not enough. I think Dan Quinn, He will be coaching his final four games in Atlanta. 3-9, a big disappointment for the Falcons. The Saints got away with one. I think Sean Payton would tell you they got away with one, but due to other results, they hold the number one overall seed now in the NFC. They will look to clinch that, and that would be extremely important for New Orleans. Going up to New Orleans and playing in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome is not fun for an opposing team. And if the Saints can clinch that, that would be huge for their quest to return to the Super Bowl. But for Atlanta, 3-9, tank away, keep losing, get a high draft pick, fire Dan Quinn, and get a new coach. All right, now we will go to one of the NFC teams New Orleans is competing against. And what a game we had in Baltimore as Justin Tucker kicks a game-winning 49-yard field goal as time expires for the Ravens as they win 20-17. What a game that was in Baltimore. Everyone is drinking the Baltimore Ravens Kool-Aid right now. They can do nothing wrong. I still don't think they're going to be the team representing the Super Bowl in the AFC, however. They are playing great, no doubt about it. But once again, can we please stop anointing Lamar Jackson? Like, come on. I mean, he's a very good quarterback. I'm going to say he's a very good quarterback. But he threw for 105 yards. He threw for 105 yards. Let me repeat that. He didn't throw for 305. He didn't throw for 205. He threw for 105 yards. That's not... And that's your MVP, folks? That's who you want to be MVP? Lamar Jackson, who throws for 105 yards? I mean, don't get me wrong. He's played great all year. But this MVP talk is just so absurd. It makes no sense to me. I mean, the dude hasn't thrown for over 300 since Miami, week one. And it's Miami. And you're like, oh, well, he did his rushing. Well, he rushed for 101. So he total yards, he had 206 yards. Really? Against that 49er defense? So against real defenses, he shows you that he's not so effective, including a fumble, by the way. He had one fumble, one touchdown, throwing, one rushing. It just makes no sense to me how Lamar Jackson is everyone's MVP. It makes no sense. Last time I checked, quarterbacks have to throw the football. They have to throw. I mean, look at these. I'm going to read you every single number Lamar Jackson has throwing. 324 against Miami. 272 against Arizona. 267 at Kansas City. 247 against the Browns. 161 at Pittsburgh. 236 Cincinnati. At Seattle, 143. New England, 163. Cincinnati away, 223. Houston at home, 222. At the Rams, 169. And at San Francisco, 105. You see the decline? So what's next? He's going to throw for 80 yards and he's the MVP? He's going to throw for 80 yards. He's going to have 60 yards rushing. Oh, he's still the MVP. You must give him the MVP because he's a new story. He's changed the game. He's Michael Vick. Oh, stop it. Just stop it. It just drives me crazy. Just stop. Stop the Lamar Jackson hype. It's just too much. Talking about how he's a top three quarterback in the game. Stop. 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 I can't take it anymore. I can't. I just can't. He can't throw. He can't throw. Quarterbacks have to throw the football. They have to throw the football. And he does not throw the football well. Period. There's no debate about that. He does not throw the football well. 14 of 23 for 105 throwing yards. And he's the MVP? Really? Really? Now, I'm not saying Lamar Jackson isn't a franchise quarterback. Of course he's a franchise quarterback. But to say he's an MVP, to say he's a top three quarterback, a top five quarterback, which I'm hearing all over the place, is ludicrous, it's blasphemy, and it's outrageous. Just because you're the best quarterback in the AFC North in a crap division full of quarterbacks with Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton, Mason Red-Nosed Reindeer Rudolph, and Duck Hodges, but he's the MVP. I'll give you this. He's the best quarterback in the AFC North, but the quarterbacks in the AFC North suck. And yes, I know Ben Roethlisberger's in the AFC North, but he's not playing this year. Just stop the MVP talk. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Oh, but it was raining, so he couldn't throw. Who cares? Tom Brady throws in the rain all the time. It's ridiculous. And if he's the MVP, if everyone thinks he's the MVP, you're right, I'm going to compare Lamar Jackson to Tom Brady. Gets on my nerves. Absolutely gets on my nerves when we talk about Lamar Jackson like he's the greatest thing we've seen. Just drives me crazy. And in here in Maryland, I hear it all the time, and it makes me want to puke, man. It just makes me want to puke. For the 49ers, a hard-fought game, a game I think they would have liked to win, a game I think they would have told you they should have won. They rushed the ball extremely well, just couldn't get it done. Justin Tucker, ice in his veins, greatest kicker of all time. He is the real Ravens' best player, by the way, Justin Tucker. That dude's amazing. That dude can play the game of football. He kicks the football like nobody. So give credit to Justin Tucker. And the Ravens, 10-2. But man, extremely overhyped. I hope I'm warning all you guys right now. They're the favorites in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. They ain't winning no Super Bowl. They ain't winning no Super Bowl. Stop it. They are not winning no Super Bowl. They are not winning a Super Bowl this year. Put it in stone and carve it up and make sure to tell everyone that the Ravens will not win the Super Bowl, because they're not. They're just not. But that's okay. It's okay, Ravens fans. I'll let you have your moment for now. But I can't wait till January, when the truth will finally come out. All right, moving to another AFC North team, the Cincinnati Bengals finally get on the board. They get their first win since week 15 of 2018. That is 350 days. They beat the New York Jets 22-6. Another game we called here on the Benchwarmers Redemption. We picked the Bengals to win that game. And congratulations to Zach Taylor, but it's typical Jets. They get you so high, it's so Jets. It's just so Jets. They win two games, they get you super high, and then they're the Jets. It was the easy game to pick. Easy, easy, easy game to pick. It's so New York Jets. I'm sorry, Jets fans, but that's bad. That's bad. Can't lose to Cincinnati. And consider yourselves a good team. There's still a lot of issues with the Jets. And we will see what happens with Adam Gase. I still think he might be gone. I know Chris Johnson said they're going to keep him. But that was an ugly loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, a team without a win in 350 days. AFC South battle, the Titans win 31-17 over the Indianapolis Colts. Derrick Henry with 100 or more rushing yards in three straight games for the Titans. Titans are going to get that sixth and final playoff spot in the AFC, in my opinion. They're just really good. They are a very good, fundamentally sound football team. Tannehill has taken them to another level. They are winning games left and right. They're 7-5. They control their own destiny. I know their schedule's hard, But I think they can go 3-1. I think they can split the Houston. I think they'll beat Oakland for sure. Oakland's a dumpster fire right now. And the Saints, I think they can beat them. I really do. I think they're going to be playing for more than New Orleans. I think that will show in Week 16. I think the Titans are going to get that final playoff spot. I love the way Vrabel coaches that team. Derrick Henry runs the ball like nobody's business. Get out of my way. And it is a special thing to see in Tennessee. They're building something good right now for the Colts. Jacoby Brissett. I like Jacoby Brissett. He doesn't turn the football over. But he's kind of like your veteran stopgap guy. He just is. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Jacoby Brissett. I think that's been shown. He has incredible weapons. I know T.Y. Hilton was out and Marlon Mack was out. But he's a phenomenal offensive line. And it's just not good enough for the Colts. In a year where Andrew Luck retired suddenly, if they had Andrew Luck, they'd get in the playoffs for sure. It's an unfortunate break for the Colts. 6-6. They go down to Tampa. And I think they will lose down in Tampa. And 6-7. That will be the final nail in the coffin for the Colts' playoff hopes. Speaking of those Buccaneers, they go down to Jacksonville and win 28-11. The Buccaneers with 5 or more sacks in consecutive games for the first time since 2004. But that is not the story in this one, as Nick Foles is benched for Gardner Minshew. Nick Foles had an extremely poor first half, a game that was just embarrassing for the Jacksonville Jaguars and Nick Foles. Nick Foles in the first half, 7-14, 93 yards, and a pick where no one knew what he was doing on that one. Absolutely knew nothing about that. I mean, just, I don't think anyone knew anything about what Nick Foles was doing on that play. He must have seen something that was just crazy. I mean, it was the easiest interception you will see for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Minshew comes in 16 of 27. He was not great either. 147, a touchdown and a pick. He was better than Nick Foles, however, and Minshew will be the starting quarterback the rest of the way for those Jacksonville Jaguars. And to be honest with you, that makes a lot of sense. Their season is over. See what they have and the young guy, and just chalk up that Nick Foles was a terrible signing. Just got to chalk it up. Admit it and move on. And that's what they will do. The Buccaneers, they continue to play well. They are on a roll right now. I think they will continue that roll with a win versus the Colts. Off to Kansas City, the Chiefs over the Raiders 40-9. The Chiefs are 25-3 versus AFC West opponents since 2015. The Oakland Raiders have a negative point differential on the season. They have been a fluke all year. And their season is on life support. And I think they will lose to Tennessee next week, effectively ending their hopes. The Raiders, it's just not going to happen for them. They played well to start the season. Too many flaws. Too young. Their defense stinks. And it's early. It's early for the Raiders. But they have the pieces in place. Continue to make some additions, and I think they can be a playoff contender for next year. The Chiefs are who people are sleeping on. The Chiefs are going to be extremely dangerous. I would not be surprised to see the Chiefs represent the AFC in the Super Bowl this year. I would not be surprised at all. Their defense is playing better. Mahomes is back doing his thing. They got no pressure on them whatsoever. All the pressure is now on Baltimore and New England. All of it. And they're playing with house money. I think the Chiefs are going to surprise some people. I don't think they'll get to the Super Bowl, but they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And they are a very well-coached team. We'll see if Eric Bieniemy finally gets a head coaching job. I think he deserves one. All right, to Miami, where the Dolphins score their most points in a game since Week 7 of 2015. And beat the Philadelphia Eagles 37-31 an embarrassing loss for the Eagles, and I do not think they're going to win the NFC South. They have way too many flaws all over their team. I think, first off, you compare schedules, you'll say, oh, well, the Eagles' schedule is better. They only, Eagles, if they lose to the Cowboys, they're done. Because I'll be honest with you, I'll give you a sneak peek of pick-ems. I have the Cowboys losing to the Bears. I also have them losing to the Rams. And then going to Philly and winning, and then winning against Washington. I have the Eagles winning both against the Giants and the Redskins and losing to Dallas. That would put both teams at 8-8, and the Cowboys would have the tiebreaker and would go through and move on. So I think that's what's going to happen. Too many flaws on Philly. Their defense is rough. They made no adjustments on Devontae Parker whatsoever. I think that's a little bit of an indictment on Jim Schwartz. We'll see if he's there next year. His job under scrutiny. And Carson Wentz, not playing well. He's just not playing well. I know his weapons aren't there, but Alshon Jeffrey came back. It's not well for the Eagles right now. All is not well. It seems like a long time ago since they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. All right, to New York City, and the Giants continue to embarrass themselves. The Packers win 31-13. They are 3-0 following a loss this season, the Green Bay Packers. And what better way to follow up a loss by playing the New York Giants? The New York Giants think they will get the number 2 pick in the draft, get Chase Young. Pat Shurmur will be fired, as he should be, because he is a terrible head coach in the National Football League. And the Giants will move on and find a new coach, who I think will be Ron Rivera. For the Packers, they continue to play well. I think they take the NFC North crown. I like the way their defense is playing. They showed up and showed out versus the Giants, and the offense bounced back as well. Good win, good dominating, resounding win for Green Bay up at MetLife. To Arizona, where the Cardinals were embarrassed 34-7. Robert Woods for the Rams, 172 receiving yards, a career high for him. The Rams, I think, are going to get that sixth spot. I've been saying that. Don't count out the Los Angeles Rams, and they dominated the Cardinals. I think they can do it. I really do. I like the talent they have, the experience they have. I think McVay can build something up. I think the Rams are a sneaky, sneaky team right now that no one is talking about. But I think they can get in. Their offensive line needs to be fixed, no doubt about it. Their interior line is rough. But I still think they can get in. I really do. I think they have the tools to do it. Jared Goff is playing well. I think the defense will continue to step it up. And I like the Rams to get that sixth and final spot in the NFC wild card. To Denver, where the Broncos beat the Chargers 23-20. Brandon McManus, a game-winning 53-yard field goal as time expired for the Broncos. Poor Chargers. All 8 of their losses this year by 7 points or less. Just breaking the hearts out of the very few fans they have down in Los Angeles. It's rough. It's rough for the Chargers. It's been a rough year. Phillip Rivers, he continues to be on borrow time as a starting quarterback for the Chargers. His tenure is coming to an end. We'll see about Anthony Lynn, whether he keeps his job. I have my doubts. I just think it's a rough year, and the Spanos family would like to make a change. Spanos family is one of the worst ownership groups in the NFL. And the Broncos, good win. Drew Lock looked really good. We'll see if he can keep that up versus Houston. Spoiler alert, I do not think he will. Also, back to the Cardinals and the Rams. The Cardinals will not win another game this year. All right, to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers, a practice squad Steelers team on offense, beats the Browns 20-13. The Browns' last win versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh was Week 5 in 2003. Oh, man. It's hard being a Browns fan. It's really hard being a Browns fan. And you know why the Browns lost? Culture. Culture. And it's what we told you about last week on the show. It's culture. The culture for the Cleveland Browns is a terrible culture right now. It's just terrible. It's not a winning culture. The Steelers, they are a winning culture. And you look at the skill players on offense. Duck Hodges or Baker Mayfield? Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, or Benny Snell and Jalen Samuels? Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, or James Washington and Deontay Johnson? It's not even a discussion. You laugh when you bring these type of things up. The gap is so big between those players and their talents. But you know what's crazy? The gap between Mike Tomlin and Freddie Kitchens is just that much bigger. It just is. Freddie Kitchens is a clown. He needs to be fired today. He won't be, but I think he should be gone any minute now. He won't be, but I would fire him on the spot. He's incompetent. And I've never said that about Freddie, about him getting fired. But wearing a t-shirt saying Pittsburgh started it? What head coach does that? What head coach in the National Football League does that? He's such a hypocrite, talking about, oh, we need to play hard, avoid the distractions. Well, you just did the complete opposite by wearing the dumb t-shirt. But that's Freddie Kitchens, and that's the Browns, because they're an undisciplined mess of a football team. They are an undisciplined mess. As far as Baker Mayfield had that hand injury, the last interception was not his fault. Jarvis Landry ran the wrong route. And if you watch the film closely, as I did, Justin McCray got beat on pretty much every single play by Bud Dupree. Absolutely embarrassed Justin McCray, the left tackle replacing Greg Robinson. It's rough. It is rough for the Cleveland Browns. Their season is done at 5-7. They went out. They still won't get in. An embarrassing season. But that's what happens when you have an embarrassing culture, embarrassing coach, and more importantly, the most embarrassing owner in the National Football League. Sunday Night Football. The Patriots and the Texans. The Texans win 28-22 in a game where they get their first win versus the Patriots since week 17 of 2009. So congratulations to the Texans. They continue to show they are for real. That AFC South between them and the Titans is going to be a fascinating battle coming down the stretch. I know all the concerns about New England are there. I'm not concerned about it. I think they will figure it out like always. It's just a lot of noise right now, in my opinion. I know their offense hasn't played well. I know Tom Brady hasn't played well. But they always figure it out because they're New England. I don't bet against history. History shows New England is the best. Houston, Deshaun Watson, love watching him play. Just amazing, 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 amazing quarterback. What a guy. He's going to be a future MVP in the NFL. He's special. He is a special leader. He's just a special, special player. And you just got to give Houston credit. You got to give them credit. They played well. And you got to just give them credit. And that's all you can do. And they are for real. They are for real. They have shown you they are for real with Deshaun Watson. And their running game's doing better. Hopkins got the ball. Will Fuller. The defense is playing a little bit better. Houston's going to be an interesting out. They're going to be a tough team to play. And Deshaun Watson, he just makes things happen. He's an animal. He's just an absolute animal. And Monday night, where the Seahawks beat the Vikings 37-30, Kirk Cousins for the Vikings is now 0-8 in his career record in Monday night games. Oh, it's so Kirk Cousins. That's so Kirk Cousins. What is the one thing? He lacks the clutch gene, and he showed it again Monday night. Because that's what Captain Kirk does. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. They're not going to make the playoffs in Minnesota. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I really don't. I think Mike Zimmer's in jeopardy if they miss the playoffs of losing his job. And I think they are going to miss the playoffs. I really do. Captain Kirk, man, doesn't perform down the stretch. He's Captain Kirk for a reason. It's beautiful to see. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I personally don't like Kirk Cousins either. I think he's a little bit arrogant. I think Redskins fans would tell you the same thing. And he's just not clutch. He's just not clutch whatsoever. Dalvin Cook obviously went out early. Their defense for the Vikings has not been what they expected it to be. But hey, that's why Mike Zimmer could be in trouble if they miss the playoffs. And Russell Wilson is the true MVP. The real MVP, not Lamar Jackson. Russell Wilson continues to show up and show out and carry his team to victory night in and night out. Russell Wilson is that dude. He just is. He is that dude. Russell Wilson. If the Seahawks didn't have Russell Wilson, I think the Seahawks would be 5-7 right now. If the Ravens didn't have Lamar Jackson, I think the Ravens would be 8-4. There you go. That's my MVP analysis right there. One guy means more to the team than the other. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Russell Wilson is that dude. He is special. Getting back to Pittsburgh as well, congratulations to Mike Tomlin, by the way. What a coach. What a coach Mike Tomlin is. What a culture the Steelers have. They're going to be competing with the Titans. I just don't think they have the talent to beat Tennessee in that final race. They do have the tiebreaker, but I do think they lose a couple more games. I do think they lose at Buffalo or hosting Buffalo, and I do think they will lose at Baltimore. The Browns need them to lose a lot coming down the stretch, too, to even have a chance. But the Browns, their season's over. Their season's over. They're not beating Baltimore. They're going to get embarrassed by Baltimore. So that's week 13, pardon me, of the National Football League. And it was a fun week. It was a fun week full of a lot of excitement, a lot of entertaining games. And it was a good week. And hopefully week 14 delivers those same goods. To baseball now, where the Pittsburgh Pirates announced Derek Shelton as their new manager. I think that is a great hire. Derek Shelton, in my opinion, is one of the main reasons why the Twins hit 270 or around that in terms of home runs. They hit a bunch of home runs last year. And I think Derek Shelton's a main reason for that. He's a former hitting coach with Tampa Bay and Cleveland, bench coach for the Twins. I think in Pittsburgh, he's going to be a leader that they need, and I like the hire. They need a bit of a culture change, and I think he can give them that culture change in Pittsburgh. They have a nice young team, a nice young core. They won't win right away, but I think they have the chance to be really, really good down the road with Derek Shelton. And in terms of MLB free agents, a lot of good MLB free agents out there. We are going to predict where these free agents go. But first off, before we do our predictions, Zach Wheeler obviously landing a huge deal with the Philadelphia Phillies, 5 years and $118 million. A crazy trade, a crazy free agent signing, pardon me. And I don't like it. I don't like it. He gets injured a lot, in my opinion, and it's just a little scary for me. It's just a little scary to see that Wheeler, a guy who's been hurt a lot, who's got a career 4 ERA, is getting $118 million. That doesn't rub me the right way, in my opinion. I just would not spend that money like that. That's me, and you don't have to agree with me, obviously, but I just, that's how I feel. That's just how I feel about it. I don't think it's a good deal. Also, Yasmani Grandal getting that deal with the White Sox is a great signing for him. For the White Sox, I don't know about that money. 4 years, $78 million is a lot of money. A lot of money. And it's just risky. It's very risky. But we will now predict these free agents, where they will go. We'll start off with Gerrit Cole. I think Gerrit Cole will go to the Angels and break the bank. I think Gerrit Cole is going to go home. I think he'll get around 8 years. I think he can get $250 million. Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher in baseball, and he is just dominant. And he will break the bank and reset the starting pitcher market. Anthony Rendon, I think he stays with the Nats. I think they will keep him at around a 8-year deal as well, worth about $260 million. For Strasburg, I think he goes. I think Strasburg will go to the New York Yankees. I really do. I think that's going to be the Yankees' big signing. I think he will get 6 years and $210 million from the New York Yankees. I really do. They're going to go all out and break the bank and give him a crazy year-by-year salary. A crazy year-by-year salary. But that's what it's going to take for Strasburg. I think they do that. They might even give him a seventh year. I'll go 7 years and $210 million. And in terms of Josh Donaldson, I think he will go to the Texas Rangers on a short 3-year deal worth $70 million. I like Josh Donaldson. Rangers have a lot of money to spend. They will break the bank. Madison Bumgarner, I think, will go to Minnesota. And he will go to Minnesota on a 4-year deal worth $100 million. I think that will be the deal for Bumgarner. He is going to get paid. Castellanos for the White Sox. I think that's what is going to be for Castellanos. They need another outfielder. I think Castellanos is that guy for the White Sox. Hyunjin Ryu, I think, stays with the Dodgers on a 3-year deal worth $50 million. And Ozuna, Marcell Ozuna, I think will go to the St. Louis Cardinals and stay home. Didi Gregorius will return to Cincinnati, in my opinion. Dallas Keuchel, I think, will go to the White Sox. I think they will continue to break the bank. The White Sox are going to spend money like nobody's business, and I think they are going to get Mr. Keuchel. In terms of trades, I think Lindor will not be traded until the summer. I think Mookie Betts will not be traded. I think Chris Bryant will be traded. I think Chris Bryant, I don't know where he will go, but it's going to be a superstar for superstar type deal. I do think Chris Bryant is moved. Unfortunately for today's show for Benchwarmers, we are only able to go to 50 minutes as those mitigating circumstances I told you about. It is a packed jam schedule here on the Benchwarmers Redemption and Howard Community College Dragon Digital Radio. So we are approaching that 50-minute mark, so we will get into pick-ems. So first, we got Utah and Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. I like Utah to win. I think Baylor will upset Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. I think they will get their revenge off Oklahoma's magical comeback that they had. LSU and Georgia, I think LSU will win and win fairly comfortably. Clemson and Virginia, I'm going to pick Clemson by 45 in a horrible game. Ohio State and Wisconsin, Ohio State by 38. They will win roughly around by the same score, 56 to 20 sounds good to me, so by 36. NFL, like I said earlier, I think the Bears will beat the Cowboys. I think the Bears will go to 7-6 and keep those slim playoff hopes alive. And the noise about Jason Garrett's job increases. I do think the Bills will beat the Ravens. I keep picking against Baltimore. I know the trend, and they keep winning. I think the Bills are going to go and beat Baltimore. I really do. I think they can do it. I think the Bills are for real. They get another signature win and show the NFL that we mean business, and we are the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots and the Chiefs, I think the Patriots will win. I think the Patriots will do it fairly comfortably against the Chiefs. I think they are angry about all this criticism, and I think they will win 34-17 over the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Rams will upset the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. I think the Rams are going to be extremely motivated, knowing they pretty much have to win out to have a chance at the playoffs. I think they will do so. I think they will beat Seattle at home. Seattle coming off an extremely emotional, high roller coaster game against the Vikings off a short week. I think the Rams pounce on that and beat Seattle. And finally, in a horrible Monday night game between two crap teams, the Eagles will beat the Giants and Eli Manning, who will get the start. It's going to be a horrible game. I will likely not watch it because those two teams do not deserve my time or attention. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption on a shortened edition due to the limited time we have here due to a packed schedule. But this has been a fun show, a great week 13 of the National Football League. Shout out also to my Ohio State Buckeyes basketball team for an incredible win at North Carolina last night. And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.